I'm going to use no stopwatch, but I better now. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. We'll just read verse 29 tonight. John chapter number 1, verse 29. The Bible says in verse 29, "The next day that John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Let's pray real fast. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, God, to be able to stand here one more time. God, I confess that I'm nothing without you. God, confess I can do nothing. God, can help these people, God, with nothing in my ability. God, I pray you'd endue me with power. God, you give me that touch that I need. God, you'd help me to say, God, exactly what you'd have me to say, nothing more. God, nothing less. God, I pray you get the glory. God, you get the honor for everything that's said and done. We love you because you first loved us. In your name we do pray. Amen and amen. Yeah. We know that John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus Christ was on the scene, John was sent to be the forerunner. And I'll say in introduction, we are the forerunner for the second coming of Jesus Christ. God's put us here in this time and this day to tell others about Jesus Christ. But when you go out to tell others, what are you supposed to tell them? And I want to preach a simple thought. We were in elementary school, we all had that time of show and tell. And that's exactly what I want to preach on tonight, show and tell. Yeah. First thing you got to look at is who is he? Who is he? And the first thing in John chapter number 1, verse number 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the first thing, who he is God. Like Brother Micah said, he's not Buddha. He's not Muhammad. He's not another God. We didn't have to pick him up this morning. I didn't have to dust him off. I didn't have to knock on his door and say, "God, wake up. I need you this morning." No, but he is the Most High God. He sits on high, and he looks down low, and he sees your need, and he sees my need tonight. So not only is he God, but in Psalm chapter number 145, verse 8 and 9 said, "The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works." Not only is he God, but I see that he's good. Tonight, he's good to you, and he's good to me. I don't care where you're at tonight. You may not have enough money in the bank account. Your bills may be coming. You may be late on your bills. You may be having a back pain or whatever it may be tonight. But let me say this. God's a lot better than we deserve. Because you sit in that seat tonight, God's been way better to you than he should have been. We should be in hell tonight for the first sin that we ever did, for that little bitty lie that we did. God's a righteous God, and God demands righteousness, and if we can't live up to that, we ought to be in hell. But thank God that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you and to die for me tonight. But not only is he God and he's good, I see that he's worthy to be glorified. Revelation chapter number 5 and verse 12 says, "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Let me say, because God is God and because he's good, he's worthy to be glorified tonight. So not only who he is, but I want to see, why did he come? Why did this God leave the portals of glory to come down here to be on this earth? But the first reason I see in Luke chapter number 19, verse number 10, it said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The first reason he came, the main reason why he left heaven to come down here, was to save me and you. We couldn't make it to him. We couldn't earn enough. We couldn't do enough in our own physical body to be able to go to him. But he sent his only begotten Son to this earth to live a sinless life and to go to that old rugged cross. He didn't come just to heal people. I'm glad he did. He didn't come just to raise people from the dead. I'm glad he did those things. But the reason that he came was to save you and to save me tonight. But not only do we see that he came to save me and you, but he see that we came to put away sin. As the end of that verse said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He didn't come, "Behold the Lamb of God which hideth the sin of the world," or that just shelters it behind his back. But no, he came to take it away. Every sin that you've ever done, every sin that I've ever done, past, present, and future, is gone forevermore. We don't have to make a sacrifice anymore. I don't have to go every year and shed that blood. No, that blood has been shed on that cross of Calvary for you and for me tonight, and I'm so thankful that it is. But also we see that he came to satisfy the Father. Matthew chapter number 3, verse 17, it said, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He came to satisfy the Father. No sacrifice, no bloodshed was enough to be able to satisfy the Father. It took that righteous blood and that holy blood and that pure blood to satisfy the Father. No other way would we have been able to have access to him but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And only who he is and why did he come, we see what's next. Acts chapter number 1 and verse 11 said, "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing unto the heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up for you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The first thing we see, that he will return. I don't know kill me before I get done preaching this message. The trump should sound, the voice of God cry out, and we can be gone just like that. Every single one of us entering here that are saved by the grace of God will be gone the twinkling of an eye. He will return one day. It could be tonight. Not only do we see that he will return, but he will reign forever. Psalm chapter number 146 and verse 10 said, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, under all generations. Praise ye the Lord. One day he will reign forever. The politics and the governor and the president may think they're getting away, may think the Antichrist one day will think he's defeated all nations. But one day when he thinks he's defeated everything, God will step out on the scene. He'll defeat the devil and the powers of hell one more time. And I'm so thankful that he'll reign forever. But lastly, we see that in Romans chapter number 10, verse 9 through 13. I won't take time to read that, but we know that it's still in the Bible tonight that each soul can be saved. What's next? God's still saving souls, and God's still changing lives. So let me encourage you tonight, just keep on keeping on, still telling people and showing and telling others about Jesus Christ.